of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. We're live from Hollywood. It's Super J Radio with your host, Garrett Miller, starring Paul and Matt.
You still didn't add the extra clapping.
Well, that actually requires a lot of work. It sounds silly to say that, but if I'm going to add the extra clapping, then I got to go back to my producer and say, will you do this? And then he wants to get actually paid for doing work. He doesn't want to, you know, even though he, you know, thinks I'm his best client, I'm putting words in his mouth. He actually would like to, you know, pay his rent and eat. So I have to be careful when I go back in because there's an expectation of payment of coin.
I don't mind if you find like a YouTube of people clapping or something and then just add that on to the end.
Well, you know, all things are possible, so we'll see. Maybe that's what we do for next time. Who knows? But anyway, so happy Saturday. Glad to hear your voice today.
Oh, happy Saturday. Wonderful day. I think it's a wonderful day for everybody except for that cunt, Anne Graham.
Is it, how in the world, do they just go like, you know, it rained today, so it must be the gays' fault. You know, and it's just like, it's a slow news day. We have nothing else to talk about. Let's go back to 9/11, because that's a hot button. It's the trans people's fault. Is this just the most, and you know, people listen to this and go like, it's the trans people's fault. It totally is, you know? Oh, Paul.
Well, it goes back. I mean, for me, number one, I've said for most of my life, if you can buy virgin birth, you'll buy anything.
Well, there's that. There is that.
Number two, I've read the Bible twice, cover to cover. I had to study the Bible as a child. And one scripture that I always did enjoy actually relates to this female Pastor Anne Graham, just because her father made a ton of money, she figured she'd take up the family business. And make
right,
no
right.
mistake, people, it's a business. But she obviously has never read 1 Corinthians 14:34, which says women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. Don't give me any of that, Jesus, wash that away, that's Old Testament bullshit. No, this is after Jesus has already come and gone that this was said. So,
well, I think, you know, we need to get Anne Graham and Kirk Cameron in the same room and let them battle it out.
Back and forth. He's got a submissive wife. I don't mind being submissive now and again. Well, actually more often than now and again, but now and again, the whole thing. And honestly, one of the things that pisses me off about this, what happened to the gays, the witches, and the abortionists causing 9/11?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe we've evolved. It's evolution, Paul.
They don't believe in evolution. She's looking for more fucking money, for more bad jewelry and extra Botox in that mile-high forehead of hers.
I don't know. You know, it's just like, it. You know, if it can sell a TV rating,
mm-hmm.
and I will tell you, you know, years and years and years ago, I used to watch the 700 Club, but it was one of those things that I really just kind of got turned off on when every time I looked around, they were asking for money. And, you know, I know that, you know, it costs a dime to be on the air and everybody's got to, you know, make a car payment and mortgage payment and stuff like that. But, you know, they live a really, really nice life. And, you know, it's interesting to see how that is rationalized when, you know, a lot of the folks that are donating are people that are really on a fixed income. You know, and I'm not telling anybody how to spend their money or where they need to spend their donations, you know, should you choose to. But I'll tell you, you know, I think that money would be much better used and spent going down to your local church, synagogue, or whatever place of worship that you like and helping, you know, your local community versus sending in Pat Robertson and the 700 Club empire of multiple millions of dollars that, you know, come in and help keep them as fat cats.
Oh, absolutely. absolutely. I mean, I was raised evangelical. I know these people inside and out. And I will say again, there is no faster path to atheism than actually reading the Bible cover to cover.
Well, you know, it's it's always a interesting, because they're stories, and
they are stories.
You know, it would be one thing if, you know, this were taken straight from the horse's mouth, but you know, these are stories that were told over hundreds of years, thousands and thousands of years ago, and then finally, you know, the spin was put on these stories to fit a particular, you know, governing empire of the day or days, and then put in a book and called the official word of God. And it's like,
right.
Could there have ever possibly been anything? I mean, I'm just saying any part of this that was lost in translation, misquoted, spelled incorrectly to take on a new meaning, or anything else? Is that even remotely possible? You know,
well, that's remotely possible, and just the fact that the King James Bible, which is the official Bible of most of the Christian religions, every single word was literally okayed by King James in that book.
So if he didn't like it,
exactly. That's why it's called the King James Bible. And I'm not asking people to not believe whatever you want to believe.
Right, right.
But if you're giving your hard-earned money to people that are living a better lifestyle than you are affording your own family, try and rethink your priorities as to what Jesus, the character in the Bible, or the Savior of mankind, however you choose to accept him, think of what he would honestly tell you to do. And please sit and read the book you are basing your faith on. Don't have somebody who is making money off of you hand feed, piece by piece, line by line, bit by bit, to try and stitch it all together to make you put more money in the basket when it goes by. I'm off the soapbox.
Well, I think people, you need to have, so here I am in parting. I think people need to have faith in something. Now, I don't know what that something is for you. I don't know what it is for our listeners, but I think you need to have faith in something. And at that point, you know, it gives you a basis and a foundation for what you want to do. Now, you can call it religion. You can call it just faith. You can call it, you know, the home shopping network. You can call it whatever you want. But, you know, I think those foundational, you know, bricks that you lay really give you your direction for what you want to do in life. Like, you know, be nice to people. Don't be dicks.
Yep.
I think that we get so lost on the fact that, you know, you want to be a Bible thumper. That's great. And, but if you're going to be a Bible thumper, can you please just preach what, you know, God wanted you to get out of this as a learning lesson, like love everybody, not just like, well, you're going to hell because you ate a cheese sandwich and it's a Thursday and it wasn't mild cheddar. You ate Brie, you sinner. And, you know, where did that come from? People are stupid.
If religion was used to control the masses, and I mean, that would be a whole 2-hour show. The reality comes down to, and I agree with you, believe in something. But believe in something that leads you to believe in yourself. Don't put your faith into something that tells you you are dirty, you are bad, you are wrong, and you are nothing without X. Because that is just an abusive relationship. Abusive husbands tell their wives that they're beating, you're nothing without me, so I can get away with this. Empower yourself through belief and faith within yourself and that which you choose to believe.
And there we go. We've now concluded church chat with Paul and Garrett. So, anyway, outside of that, what's going on in your world?
Oh,
that we want to talk about.
Yeah. You know, I will say my father passed away on the 5th, and I have no problem with his passing. I've just been dealing with the fallout from that with contact with my family. So that's just been that's honestly what's taking up 99.9% of my time. The 0.01% that's left over is diet and exercise. I know. You never thought you'd hear me say that. But I've been eating steamed shit. I haven't fried anything. And I'm walking 5 to 7 miles a day and doing 2 30-minute cardio sessions a day. Yeah.
So do you want to hear something I never thought I would say?
What?
Paul, you have now inspired me to get off my fat ass and get myself back into shape. The last few months, I started to get back into really great shape, and then something happened. After my show, I've been and I do it consciously, so it's not even like, I don't know how in the world this ever happened. I've been eating shit for snacks. You know, even if it's, you know, 94% fat-free popcorn, it's not a handful, it's 2 bags. And then it's like, what else can I throw on top of that? Because I'm going to bed in an hour. So, you know, that makes perfect sense. So I've done a decent job on exercise, but that does not work when you're filling your body with a bunch of crappy, you know, carbs and calories. So I have decided with my friend Craig Campobasso, he's actually been on the show, he's a director. I don't think I'm speaking out of line when I say this, but he's going to go on my HCDG diet drops tomorrow. And I said, you know what, Craig, I think I'm going to use you as a case study and I'm going to do this with you. So then I have an accountability partner. So I'm on my loading days. And for anybody who doesn't know what that is, that's totally okay. But you have what are called 2 loading days where you're taking the drops out, but then you're eating a ton of fat and, you know, anything that's high in fat for like 2 days in a row, because it helps your body absorb it and do all the stuff that it's supposed to. And I'm so sick and tired of eating. This is my first world problem, so I'm very blessed. But I'm so sick and tired of eating sugar and, you know, fat and cookies. I stopped last night on the way home and I got a big tub of cookies and cream ice cream to eat before bed because, you know, because I needed it. And this morning I'm like, oh, because today's the last day. So, you know, after about 6 o'clock tonight, it's all I eat for the next 3 weeks, 2 small meals, and each meal includes an apple, part of a vegetable. It's like tomato or celery or cucumber, not both, and then about 3.5 ounces of grilled chicken breast. That's it. That's my diet for the next 3 weeks, twice a day. And but I will tell you, when I'm better, I feel better, I lean out, and I look super good. I posted a picture on Facebook last night, but we got Paul on the, or we got Frank calling in too, so we'll get to him in just a second. But I posted a picture last night of my friends Nolan and RJ, and I was celebrating Nolan's artwork in a festival here. And I looked at the picture, and I'm like, you look like a big fat tub of goo. What in the heck is, you know, wrong with you? I still have the cheekbones and stuff, but I can see the face on the face. It's that slippery slope that if I waited one more week, I would be going down that path and it would be, you know, it would not be a good thing. So thank you, Paul, for inspiring me to, you know, take charge of my health.
Oh, I've been going for the whole Garrett thing. I'm trying to be nicer. I'm trying to be more compassionate, trying to eat more vegetables. I've replaced gummy bears with slices of cucumber and apple cider vinegar. And I have a huge tub of broccoli florets and shredded carrots.
When did we switch places?
When I refused to use my Kohl's card to buy another pair of fat jeans.
Why couldn't I have just gone down the path with you on that versus, okay, I'm going to flip-flop and become, you know, I'm going to gain all this weight. So
we all have our own journey.
And with that, my dear friend, Frank, Miss Viola is back on Super Gay Radio this Saturday morning. Frank, how are you?
I am wonderful. How are you, Garrett?
I'm
wonderful.
Doing well.
Yay. Hello, Paul.
Yay. I can barely hear him, but that's okay. Not that I don't like hearing you. It's just, yeah. No, there's something wrong with my headphones. I'm not hearing myself and I'm not hearing the guest. But that's okay.
Oh, no.
No, that's okay. So, Frank, first, I just want to ask you, we're going to run through a real quick RuPaul yada, yada, yada. How, so far, would you line up this season against the past three?
The past three? Oh,
six,
boy.
Seven, and eight. Five, six, seven.
Well, obviously, the Bianca Del Rio season by far was the best ever, I think. I know a lot of people didn't like last year's. I didn't mind it. I didn't hate it. I thought there were some real gems. I thought Ginger Minj was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the short time that we had Tempest was nice to see an older performer that still does it well. You know, the outcome wasn't the best, but I liked that Kennedy was on there. I liked that she's not...
Kasha.
I mean, of course, you know, I like that there was a group of performers that were of a certain age.
Right.
And that did it. I mean, what Kasha does is very similar to what I do, or what I do is very similar to what Kasha does. Let me reword that. And it's nice to see that style of drag be represented. It's not all, I can make my waist 12 inches long and I can look like a supermodel, because we don't all have that goal.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's nice to see that. This season, you know, a lot of it was really lackluster for me. I think there were some standouts. Obviously, Bob was amazing. I think Acid Betty was good. Thor was great. I liked Chi-Chi. I liked Naomi Smalls. I just think some of it got a little bit lost. I feel like there was a lot of heavy editing this season. I don't know. I don't know what you think about that, but I feel like there was a little bit more than normal.
I agree with that. I agree with the heavy editing. And I think that for me, the lackluster has been, it just seems like a retread of everything.
I wasn't impressed with, there wasn't a single challenge that I went, oh, what a great idea this season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a single one.
Yeah. And it just wasn't, I really liked last year. Because I liked most of the queens that were on it. The only thing that I didn't like about last year was when Grape Chapstick won. And then I saw her video from DragCon last weekend, and it's like, God, you annoy me. You're just annoying. But I chalk that up to age. And I will say, I will commend you. Frank, you're a genius. You're a genius in my eyes.
Well,
instead of saying, I'm younger than Kasha, you turned it around and said, no, I'm following her because she's old and I'm young.
No, I mean, she's old and dried out and I'm fresh and nubile. So, I mean, I wasn't going to say that, though.
I just wanted to point it out to somebody out there. I'm not sure Tony down in New Jersey got that, so I wanted to make sure that Tony and Hackensack picked up on that. So, but I'm truly expecting Bob to walk away with the crown, and if he doesn't, a complete and utter Twitter meltdown.
Yeah, people are going to be pissed. I think the only other way... I mean, I could see the possibility of Kim Chi winning, I guess, but I don't think that it would be the right decision. I mean,
right.
when season one, and God, let's take it back. Season one, when Bibi Zaharabaneh won over Nina Flowers, Bibi Zaharabaneh wasn't even in my radar.
Yep.
I thought she was I still think she's a very talented performer. I think she has a lot to offer, but in that particular setting, I didn't get it. I could have sort of seen Rebecca Glasscock because she's young and fresh and new. You know, I could have maybe seen that, like, let's get, like, you know, it, like Chi-Chi Rodriguez and Tu Wong Fu, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I was along with everybody else that just assumed that it was going to be Nina Flowers. And when it wasn't, that was a big shocker to me. So this time it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if she won, but I think it really needs to be Bob.
I do too, for several reasons. One of them, I hope that RuPaul, World of Wonder, Logo, everybody involved, looks back at all of the winners and notices that those that won that had the least amount of actual experience have done very little, if anything, to future the brand.
Exactly.
And I don't think Kim Chi is going to win because I think Grape Chapstick ruined it for her in that sense. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. A newer performer doesn't know how to embrace the success that they've been given and roll with it in a positive way. Whereas an older, more established performer like Bianca Del Rio, like hopefully Bob the Drag Queen, you know, knows what to do with Sharon Needles, knows what to do with what they've been given. I mean, look, the fact that we still talk about Sharon Needles and the fact that we still talk about Jinx Monsoon and the fact that we still talk about Bianca Del Rio years later is because they still continue to make an impact. Their booking fees have not gone down. They've only gone up because they keep adding to their repertoire. I mean, they keep expanding who they are as performers. I mean, you don't get Sharon. But Sharon doesn't walk on stage dressed as Morticia Adams all the time anymore. You know, she does glamour now. She does a David Bowie that'll knock your socks off. Jinx Monsoon, for Christ's sake, she's created an entire vaudeville show around these characters she's created with her partner. I mean, that's unbelievable. You know,
and we saw that vaudeville show of hers in Provincetown when we were down there with Frank a couple years ago. It really left a lot to be desired.
Did it really?
I heard that in the city
it was fantastic.
She was just trying it out when she went to Provincetown, which was a huge mistake because she actually closed early. Because it just wasn't tight. It wasn't that her numbers weren't great. It wasn't that she wasn't entertaining. It wasn't a tight show at all. And everything kind of felt like puzzle pieces that just she was making fit together instead of fitting it together. What happened there? Am I lost?
You're fine.
Okay. I just had a loud bang on my end. Okay.
How many times have you said that in your life, Paul? A loud bang in your end?
Oh my God, my bangs are so fucking loud. They really got. I've always been a screamer. Gotten caught more times than not in public because I just can't. I'm a very loud motor. Oh my God. The State House lawn in Boston, Massachusetts, 1980-something, I'm not even going to give the year, the security guard actually let us finish before saying, come out from behind the bushes and get out of here.
That's class.
Oh, it was wonderful. That was way, 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 way back. Back when Boston was fun and not expensive.
Yes. Or a giant construction site.
No shit. So what do you have coming up? I hear a little birdie told me something about New York.
I have a lot coming up, actually. So I'll start at the beginning here. So on June 11th in Binghamton, New York, it's the Binghamton's Pride Palooza. The group that puts this together in Binghamton is a very LGBT inclusive town. It wasn't always that way. John Nash from the Focus Group went to Binghamton University for a while. So he's familiar with it. It wasn't always that way, but it's a very inclusive. I mean, they have an LGBT rainbow flag raising every year. The mayor raises the rainbow flag over the city for the month of June. It's pretty amazing. So they have the big Pride Palooza. So there's a big street festival and street fair, and we have a huge show during that time. We've got performers from Syracuse, Rochester, New York City, Binghamton, Elmira, anywhere that you can think of, they're coming, they're performing. So that's a lot of fun. That's on June 11th. June 12th in Elmira on a Sunday night, which we don't normally do at 7, we're bringing a lot of those same performers together, but in Elmira, because we're kind of trying to join our two areas together. as the Southern Tier of New York to kind of be more inclusive. So we have a big show at the 205 Club in Elmira that night. But before all that, on May 27th, I and my very good friend Bianca Mann will be performing at the Under the St. Mark's Theater in New York City.
Wicked cool.
Yeah. Ronnie has a good friend who's the artistic director there, and they do a monthly variety show. And this time they decided they want to have a drag show. It's not just a drag show. There's a question and answer interview period for 10 minutes with each performer afterwards, which I think is really cool. So Ronnie and I have obviously been doing it for quite a long time, and the two other performers that are performing have been doing it for a lot less. They're the newer performers, so you're going to get a real big perspective on drag across different ages and time frames of performing. And then we each get 10 minutes to do whatever we want for performances. So it's really, really exciting. And you can go to you can just Google Under the St. Mark's Theater, and it'll put you right through there. It'll give you the date. Tickets are at the door. It's a lot of fun, and we're really super excited about that. And then June 3rd and 4th at the Starlight Room in Elmira, New York, we are bringing back We Three Queens, who are literally everywhere right now. L.A., Kasha's going to London. I mean, they're all over the place right now. We Three Queens, Kasha Davis, Aggie Dune, Darian Lake are coming back for two shows at the Starlight Room in Elmira. We sold out in 72 hours last time. There's only a few tickets left this time. It's going to be an amazing, amazing weekend with two amazing shows with those awesome performers. So lots going on. Lots going on.
Excellent, excellent. I know you've done New York City before, but...
I did. I lived there. And I did in Queens. We did a lot of shows in Queens. But this is you know, Viola Takes Manhattan now, so.
Oh, I think it's so cute how Queens and Queens think that that's actually New York City. But
isn't that funny?
if you look for RuPaul Drag Con this year, Willem and Gia Gunn showed how to properly tuck with one of the stripper boys from Hey Queen.
I love that.
Okay, so I want to make sure that, you know, all of your precious jewels are tucked away properly.
Yeah,
so go and
ball.
Watch that. Don't be tucked while you watch it. But, well, no, because I mean, that much I know. Getting hard while tucked can be a problem.
Yes, it can. It snaps right off.
Yeah. But that's why Willem uses this wonderful boat.
Yes.
That stretches, because duct tape doesn't stretch, which I didn't realize.
No, it does not.
So every time I use duct tape, I don't want it to stretch, so I don't think about that.
What is boat tape?
You're tying someone up with duct tape, you don't want it to stretch. Of course.
It's a vinyl polymer that actually almost looks like packing tape, but the sticky stuff is non-toxic and when it doesn't like rip your skin when you tear it off.
Okay. Can I ask a question here, Miss Viola?
You can, Garrett.
Okay. This sounds really silly because I probably should know these things, but I do not. So when you tuck and you do all of that,
mm-hmm.
does it, I can only imagine that this must hurt incredibly. I can't even begin to understand how it must hurt, but what do you do?
Well, there's some girls that physically, and I have friends that do this, physically push their testicles back into their body, which most people don't realize happens. They actually pop them back in. I don't do that because I have known people that where they've had to have them surgically taken back out because they wouldn't come back out again. It doesn't hurt after the first 5 or 10 times you do it, because then your body just sort of gets used to it. And it also depends on what you wear. Now, Willem has to use tape
because
to do it properly, because she wears so little on the bottom.
Right.
And she's able to do that. I'm never going to walk around in lingerie like she does. So I don't have to do something as invasive as what she does. Honestly, you can get a good tuck with just a really good tight pair of panties that fit, not like men's underwear. Like, yeah. I always say, by the smallest size you can physically put on. push everything back, put those tight ones on, and put your pantyhose on, and then another tight pair over top of everything else at the end. And usually it smooths everything out enough.
Wow.
Yeah. But the first time, it does hurt the first time. It does hurt the first time. I mean, there's no denying that.
Yeah, well, and tucking originally got the name for tucking your balls back up into your pelvic region. But no, I agree. I have never done that. I tuck like Miss Viola tucks and just everything tight. And as long as I realize half of my dick is up my ass, then I know I'm good to go.
And it can be dangerous. I mean, it really, I mean, people think that we just put on dresses and stuff, but I have to tell you, years ago, we used to tape. So we would tape from underneath our breasts down to the bottoms of our stomachs to make ourselves flatter and to give ourselves a figure. We would literally take an old T-shirt, cut the bottom off, make a tube out of it, stretch it out, and someone would run around us with duct tape, and we would tape the fat up. You'd move all of the fat up on your body so it went up towards your chest so it made your breasts look larger, and we would tape ourselves.
Oh,
and
my
friend Ronnie used to do that. My friend Bianca used to do that. She does not do it anymore. But there were times where literally if she was to fall over or we were to fall over, we would have broken a rib.
Oh, my gosh.
Because we were taped so tightly. It takes – you don't have to be a dancer for it to be physically exhausted because you have to wear – unless you're tiny, you have to wear some kind of cincher or corset or something because we're not shaped that way. We're not shaped like a woman would be shaped. And women's clothes don't always fit the right way unless you have some kind of shape to you. So I don't have a problem being bigger, but I have to wear those things because I have to give myself some shape because of what I wear. So at the end of the night, I always tell people my favorite part of drag is taking it off because at the end of the night, you physically feel like you've worked out all night long because your muscles are all stuck in one place all night long. It's like doing a crunch and holding it for 3 hours.
No, thank you.
Yeah, it's really physically demanding to do what we do. It really is.
Oh, goodness. You know, and Miss Viola, it's almost that time. Paul.
Yeah.
Do you have any closing comments for our guest before we move on to Jeremy?
I just want to say thank you so much for the RuPaul reviews. We won't be back next week, so everybody's going to have to enjoy the finale on their own and follow Miss Viola on Facebook, like her page, and she will post her thoughts there maybe.
I will.
On the closing, and thank you so much, and I will be talking to you soon, darling.
Yes, you will. Thank you, boys, very, very much. I had a blast with you.
Yay.
Thanks, Frank. Have a great day. Sure love hearing from you. You take care.
Thank you.
And our next guest is somebody I'm excited to – well, you know, we've now been Facebook friends for a matter of, you know, probably 72 hours. So I should have started stalking him a long time ago. But that hasn't happened yet. So hopefully I can stalk Jeremy after the show today. But, Paul, who is our next guest? And why is this such a vital, important guest to have on the show? Because I think that we should have started Super Gay Radio with Jeremy, but here we are today.
Well, the thing is J-Ho from the old days of that channel did the overnights on OutQ, and he did the music, but he also popped into several of the shows and told wonderful stories. He is absolutely one of the cutest, most adorable, and very open to sexually harassment from several of us. Mr. Jeremy Hobies, welcome.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Wonderful, now that you're here. Not that we didn't enjoy you, Miss Viola. We loved you, too. So, Jeremy, first of all, thank you so much for getting up at this god-awful hour and joining this silly little podcast we have.
Oh, no problem. Anything for you guys.
Okay. I was hoping you would say that. I'm asking for more swimming pool photos.
Oh, you want more? I've got to get out in the pool this summer since we're hitting triple digits here in Palm Springs. So, yes, I'll get some pool photos for you.
Yay. Now,
yay.
I want to find out, please tell me how, I mean, I believe you started with GayBC.
I did.
What was that, and how did that lead to satellite radio for you?
Well, ABC was an internet radio station, and it served the LGBT community, and that was based in Seattle, and that was started by a guy by the name of John McMullen. And I had was doing music on the channel. I was doing a kind of a mix of music, and I also helped produce some of the talk shows on that channel. So it was web-based. Unfortunately, that folded, and out of the ashes of that came OutQ. John McMullen, he started the channel on Sirius Satellite Radio. So I went from web-based internet radio to satellite radio. So that's where OutQ kind of came out of the ashes of GABC.
Oh, now were you guys living in New York at the time, or did you move out for the job?
Well, I moved out for the job. I was living in Seattle, Washington, and I was doing that for GABC. And when the time came for OutQ, I was asked, you know, do you want to come on board? Do you want to do this thing? You'll have to move to New York, which was a big move for me, especially moving from, I mean, Seattle's a nice city. It's a world-class city, but moving from there to New York, to a city that's, you know, got a lot of heart and soul, was pretty interesting. Let me put it that way. Really good move. Yeah, it did. Actually, moving to New York City and being on OutQ, that actually sort of helped me come out of my shell a little bit, because I was more in it when I was in Seattle. But when I moved, I don't know what happened. Maybe it was the return of Saturn turning 28 and 30 and at that time, and just, you know, changing and coming out of my shell more.
I can't imagine you ever being in a shell. I really can't. I mean, you're just always so up and peppy, and your music knowledge for somebody your age, especially back then, is just incredible, absolutely incredible. You used to put together the, I mean, I didn't, I will admit, I never heard, like, your whole show from beginning to end live. Because I was old even then and went to bed after Frank. But I would usually get up because my husband at the time was getting up at 3:30 in the morning to go to work. So I'd be up with him and I'd turn it on and there you would be. So, yeah,
that's where I did that show. The show that I had when I got to OutQ, well, first of all, when I got there, I was a producer. I was a studio producer. And I was helping producing, there was a couple shows. There was like the John McMullen show, and then there was Harrison on the Edge. This was the really early days. And I had done that, and they asked me if I wanted to do this music show. This was probably after a year of being a producer. And I said, well, yeah. And then they told me the format of the show, which was artists who are out as either lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. So I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. Okay. So, because, you know, you got to get artists who are out and willing to be out as out artists to, you know, to play their music. So it was, and I would tell people, they would ask me, what do I do? And it was like, well, I play gay artists. And they're like, oh, you play gay music. And I'm like, well, no, actually, there's no such thing as gay music, to be perfectly honest. Because it's just a variety of different artists doing different genres, and that was the beauty of doing that show, was because I got to play a mix of artists. I wasn't confined to one specific genre of music. It got me to play a whole bunch of independent artists who probably weren't getting played anywhere else.
Right, right. You introduced me to Rufus Wainwright. I had no idea.
Oh yeah, he's one of my favorites. Yes.
Yep. And just, it's like we bought everything available at the time after you played him, and still continue to buy his stuff. I love his stuff. Okay, I'm going to move along just a little bit, and I'm kind of switching it up. There was a sign that said, tell the truth. Some people on the channel took it a little more literally than others. Where did you fall on the spectrum? And remember, I know the answer.
Yeah, I think that tell the truth sign, I took it a little too literally, actually. You know, you're on a channel where you don't have the FCC and it's uncensored. So especially when I would pop on the Frank show, I would literally tell stories. You know, there was a whole plethora of them. And, you know, because it wasn't censored, I was like, well, you know, tell the truth. So I did, and I told the truth. And, you know, sometimes I did it, you know, people's jaws would drop. They were like, where did that come from? And I was like, well, I'm telling the truth.
See, I just smiled. Every time you told those stories, it was just like, and my first email was, DeCaro, have him back as soon as possible.
Yeah, I got away with he let me – Frank was really good. He let me come on the show because I was overnight, and so I wasn't – I probably had less of an audience than the other shows. But so Frank was very kind to let me come on and just, you know, just let me let my hair down and to kind of be me, you know, just uncensored and sort of unreined at that time.
It was a blast. You're an absolute joy. Now I want to go to the blackout sleepover because I know that Anthony Veneziano, who was Michelangelo's producer at the time, was stayed throughout the blackout because Sirius was still broadcasting.
Oh, you're talking about, yeah, the big blackout that happened. I think that was 2003.
Yep.
That was like the whole Eastern Seaboard or the Northeast, I should say. I was actually producing a show. This was even before I had the music show, and it was in the studio. I was helping produce a show, and all of a sudden the lights dimmed real quick. And then we heard sort of a hum noise. And then we didn't know what was going on. And then we got word that the lights had gone out and the generators had kicked on. That's what happened. That's why Sirius was able to keep going, was because the generators came on.
Oh.
And so the blackout was we couldn't get home. We were stuck. We couldn't get on the trains to go home because the trains weren't running. Nothing was running. And I remember, actually, it was like a scene from a post-apocalyptic movie, was coming down that freight elevator and going and trying to find some food for us, you know, because Times Square was absolutely dark. It was pitch black. You wouldn't believe it. It was just like a scene out of a movie. Everybody was pretty well behaved, though. There wasn't like looting or anything, so that was pretty good. So, but yeah, we had a big sleepover at Sirius LQ during that blackout. I had to sleep in the studio. I finally found a pillow and claimed it as my own, and then was able to get into the studio and sleep. So that's what we did.
So who hooked up with who? It's been a long time, so you can tell us.
I don't know who hooked up with whom. Honestly, to be, you know, with a channel that had, you know, as many gay men on it as it did, I don't know if anybody hooked up with anybody, to be perfectly honest, which is shocking, right? Get that many gay men together. But I don't know I don't think anybody hooked up with anybody that I knew of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I certainly didn't. No, I swear, I'm being perfectly honest. I don't know. If anybody, it was actually probably more the straight people that worked at Sirius, because we used to have Christmas parties. And the Christmas parties, I swear to God, after every Christmas party, somebody from ALQ would come up and go, oh, did you hear about so-and-so in sales? You know, because they got drunk and then they hooked up, kind of a thing. But I don't remember ever it happening on ALQ.
Really?
Yeah, I swear to God.
What about Larry Flick?
He went
no,
home.
I didn't. I didn't hook up with him. I didn't hook. No, I did. There was no hooking
no,
up.
No, I didn't mean you. I'm just throwing that out there because, you know,
oh,
he
I
is
see
best friends
yeah.
with Mariah Carey and Cara DiGuardia and Kylie Minogue. So.
Yeah, I don't know about his past, but I can tell you mine was pretty clean despite all my stories that I told.
I don't know anybody who doesn't have a horse porn story or a proctologist story.
Yeah, the horse porn story, that that was the whole tell the truth thing. I figured you were going to go down that road. That's I'm telling you, that story right there, there's a moral to that story. And that moral is to make sure when you're hooking up with kids, when you're out there, if you want to hook up, you want to play around, that's good. But just make sure you know who you're hooking up with, because you never know. They may break out horse porn at the end.
Is always ask what they're into.
always ask what they're into. It was such an eye-opener for me. I was a lot more discriminatory after that.
But you didn't leave.
quickly, yeah, actually I did. After that, once the tape...
Okay, I'm...
I think we've lost Jeremy a little bit, or
his,
he's been censored by the internet police, which doesn't censor anybody.
Hello,
Jeremy. There you go.
There he is.
Hello.
Yeah.
Here I am.
Yay. See? Horse porn, and all of a sudden everything goes to hell.
Yeah, I know. I wonder what that's about.
I know. Oh, this was something that I found online that I've never really thought of until... I read it, and I believe it's a quote from you talking about what a surprise it was how many straight trucker listeners listened to the channel.
Yeah, we did. It was really interesting to have an audience and when they would call in. And so many of them were these straight male truck drivers. And I would have them even overnight during my music show. In fact, there was a love song written by a lesbian artist called She. The artist was the name of Jen Foster. And I had more straight truckers call up and ask me to request that and dedicate that to their wives. So, you know, it was real interesting. We had a lot of straight truck drivers listen to the channel. They absolutely loved it. They loved everything about it. You know, from start to finish, they would listen to us 24/7 while they were out there on the road. So it was really encouraging because, you know, you're thinking you're catering to a gay audience and you hear have all these heterosexuals that are driving trucks listening and they're very supportive. So, you know, that felt very good.
I wonder if any of them were fans of mine.
I'm sure
Paul, everybody's
who's
a fan
not
of yours.
I was going to say, Paul, you know what, Paul, I have to tell you, whenever I post something on Facebook and I get a notification that says Paul Emery has reacted to a post, before I even open it, I'm already starting to giggle. I'm just
good.
Letting you know. Yes.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, no, I like to be funny. I like to be naughty and I like to be funny. Those are my two favorite things in life. And I live to make people laugh, just not on stage. Although I
oh,
did
you
try.
Do so. You're very good. You're very
oh,
good on
thanks.
Facebook.
Oh, thanks. I try. Now I want to get serious for a second because I never knew this. You had a unique stalker? Bible quotes in Star Trek?
Oh, yeah. I remember getting a letter that ended up, it was really weird. It's like this guy wanted to have sex with me and then kill me, but not necessarily in that order. It was really weird. It was this letter and it had my picture on it, one of my headshots that I did for Sirius LQ, and right next to it was a picture of Matthew Shepard. And I can't even remember what it said in the letter, but it had all these Star Trek symbols and Bible symbols on the letter. And, so yeah, I did have a bit of a stalker. It turned out to be nothing to be too concerned about, but yeah, that's what happened. It was really weird. We got a couple of them where in the letter it was you couldn't tell if it was just very strange. That's all I can say about that. Like I said, it was like the guy wanted to have sex with me and then kill me.
Oh, that's weird. That's,
well, I'm
yeah.
glad you dodged that bullet.
Yeah, okay. I know. No kidding, right?
Ugh.
So when did you meet Ted?
I met Ted in 1990, let's see, 5. And
oh,
I met him. I was walking through a bar in Tacoma where I grew up. And He had happened to come down from Seattle, and he was with friends. They were celebrating a birthday, and I walked by him, and we locked eyes. I said hello, and you know, from then on, it was history. A couple weeks later, that's when I actually hooked up with him. Was a couple weeks later when I saw him in Seattle. But and then I've been with him for the last 21 years. In fact, it's been 21 years. Next week, I get married to him.
Happy anniversary. Finally. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate it. So he's been putting up with my crap for the last 21 years, so I figured he deserves a reward. So that's what he wants, so I'm going to marry him.
Good for you.
Well,
yeah.
As long as you keep that cute little bubble ass, buddy, you're all set. You'll lose the ass. Could be dicey.
Yeah, I know.
So what are you doing now? I know you've got a radio show in Palm Springs.
Well, I did. Here's what happened. When I left Sirius LQ, I stayed around in New York for a few months, and I ended up getting a job offer out here in Palm Springs for a terrestrial radio station, and to help produce, do some studio producing. And so I took the job and I moved everything out here to Palm Springs, beautiful Palm Springs. And I ended up working for that station for about 6 years. And during that time, for about three of those years, I ended up on Sunday nights. I did a Sunday night show for a couple hours, a talk show with a co-host by the name of Noel Guabello. And we had a lot of fun doing that. Unfortunately, because of our schedules, we weren't able to continue the show after 3 years. It just got to be a little too much because of what we were doing on the outside of the show, because we were just on Sundays. So for the time being, we have stopped that. So I was doing a radio show. Right now, I'm working for Univocity Media, and that's a new media company that I'm going to be doing some writing for. I'm doing some on-the-street interviews I've already been doing that for a radio show, a syndicated show called The Chad Benson Show. So they're having me go out and do on-the-street interviews where we video it and then we put it up on his website. So I'm doing that, and I'm also doing some writing. So that's – and I'm, you know, I might be back on the air here in the next few months. You never know. So there's been some rumblings about that. So – that's where I'm at right now. I'm in a pretty good spot because, you know, I've got several things coming up, it seems like.
Cool. Well, let us know when you get back on the air. And where are you going on your honeymoon?
We don't know yet where we're going to go on the honeymoon. I would love to go back and visit the big city. I think my partner would too. But we don't know yet. We haven't figured that out. But I don't know. He hasn't told me where he wants to go.
Well, I think he should just surprise you.
Yeah, I think he should surprise me.
Well, tell him that I said it. It holds more weight when it comes from Paul and Mass.
Yes, it does. It absolutely does.
Oh, God. I got to tell
Jeremy,
you, Marilyn. This has been fantastic.
This has been fun.
It has. See,
yeah, it has been fun. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and we will be talking to you very, very soon, and we'll see about having you back on when you've got more to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime, and thank you for having me on. And one more thing, Paul, like I said,
yes.
You probably heard it a lot. I got my condolences on your father. I'm really sorry about that. I lost my father a couple years ago, so.
I know. Thank you.
You know,
thank
I feel
you
your
so
pain.
Much. Thanks so much, and I will be talking to you soon, Jeremy. Thanks.
All
thanks,
right.
Jeremy.
Thank
good
you guys.
To meet you
I
here.
Had fun.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good to meet you too. Bye.
Paul, you have the best friends and you have the best people that you find for the show. I don't know how you do it week after week, but it's always fun when we get to hang out. So I'm looking forward to what the future will bring to us down the road. So that'll be fun. So what are you going to be doing the rest of your weekend?
The rest of my weekend, I've got the rest of today is phone calls, so I've been trying
goodness.
To save my voice a little bit. And then I have laundry to do this weekend, and depending on the rain, that will determine the rest of the weekend.
Okay.
We're supposed to have thunder showers. It's been going from like 30 to 80 here and I hate that swing. Yeah, it's too much of a swing for me. So what are you up to? Oh, please give me 1 minute on your video experience.
Oh, yeah. I shot a new music video for my song, Unlike You. It's the first ballad that's on my album, Blonde Jesus. Please go out and support me and buy Blonde Jesus off of my website, GarrettMiller.com. It's $10. So, you know, for the price of a overpriced Starbucks and a healthy tip, you can get 11 songs that I wrote myself. But Unlike You, I was looking for another song to release before Blonde Jesus comes out later this summer. And I thought, you know, Unlike You would be a good one. I got a lot of people that were giving me feedback. And it is about the big breakup in my life. And, you know, my the little backstory on this that not a lot of people know is that the story came about because I was – well, it's a two-part story. So I really – on Facebook, you know, you have everybody that – this is before Facebook gave you options for a little sad face or the wow or any of these other things, and you could only like stuff. And there are a lot of posts that I would see that I wanted to unlike. And so, mm-hmm. you know, the Unlike You, I kind of had the title, you know, percolating in my head, but I wanted to tell a story. But the story of the song is about that, you know, no matter how you see me and my position or my take in the song is that you always saw me through rose-colored glasses, but I always saw me for who I really am. And so, unlike you, I see me, the man I can't pretend, the man I can't, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I wanted to film this video, but I wanted it to be very stark and very basic. And of course, I have no budget whatsoever to spend money on. And so I contacted a buddy of mine, Robert Rollins, and I said, Robert, can you help a brother out? And he says, absolutely. So we put our heads together. He came up with some great storyboard ideas, and we went out in the middle of the desert here in California and shot this thing with his buddy Joe. And that meant that I got up about 3:15 on Tuesday morning. And that, of course, also meant that I did not get any sleep the night before because I was worried that I wouldn't wake up. And made it to Robert's place by 4:30 on the nose and picked Joe up by 5. And we were out in the middle of the desert in California probably sometime by 7:30, 8 o'clock. And by 4 o'clock, we were back on the road to come back home. So it was a fun day. I've seen some of the initial footage that Robert shot. It looks really, really good. The dilemma that I have is that the color footage looks spectacular, and I want to do this in black and white. So we may do two versions of the video. I don't know, because the colors that day were just really, really popping. Really lucky. So we'll see how that all looks out. But so Robert shot it, he directed it, and now I'm going to be meeting with the editor hopefully next week, and then we'll get it, you know, put together and do a big release on it as well. So that's, you know, part one. And then, you know, as I get ready to have the remix album, it's going to come out in June or July. There's a hang up with stuff happening back in the Netherlands where the music is being remixed. And once we get that back, I'll have a release date set. But really excited to be able to share that with the world. That'll be coming out in June, July, in that time frame. But that comes along with my book and the cologne and the candles and, you know, everything else. And I've got new disco music I'm working on. So anyway, but the video was totally fun and had a great time doing it. And, you know, if you're going to put me in front of a camera, it might take me a couple of takes to kind of, you know, get the spider webs, you know, kind of shaken off a little bit. But boy, it's fun. So that was the video. That was Tuesday.
Now, if you've got black and white and color, think about maybe a Wizard of Oz type where it goes from black and white to color or color to black and white, depending
we'll
on the
see.
Mood you want to set.
Yeah.
And
I'm
then
open
send
to,
me
you know,
5%.
It's, you know, it'll just depend upon how it works out with the editor, because the guy that I'm working with on that is really, really super talented, and I've seen his work, and he's helped me on a couple of other smaller things before. So we'll just see. I'm open to it, but at the end of the day, it's the footage that was shot looks great, and so now it's just a matter of putting it together so it tells the story. So that's a little music video. Yeah.
Can't wait.
We got 30 seconds left. So go listen to DerekAndRomaine.com. Subscribe to their service, Scott Fullerton's Left of Straight Show. A couple of other quick plugs, Paul, and then we got to go.
Alec Mappa on UBN Radio Wednesdays, or search for his podcast on iTunes. And also Pandora Box. You can find her on iTunes also.
There we go. Everybody, it's been a pleasure to have you here on Super Gay Radio. Paul, I love doing this with you. We will see you soon. I'm going to be back on Tuesday. Monday, I'm taking the day off. And it's because my guest, John Cooperman, got a gig. And he has to go actually make some money. So I'm going to take the day off and actually read Lance Charnas's book that he's going to be on the show on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Love doing this with and for you. We will see you live next week.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.